Today, our guest on our program is Michaela Kinn, the CEO of the Boone County Hospital. Good to have you back.
Thank you for inviting me, Jim.
Here she is right in the studio, everybody. We did have a lot of different things that have been going on for the hospital. You got a lot of things coming up. I'm going to go right to Women's Night first because that's not far away. One of those events where you're just trying to keep open and have people come in, and it's one of those opportunities.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. Ladies Night Out is this Thursday evening from 5 to 7 in the hospital atrium. This is the second year that we've done this event and just trying to help, you know, the ladies in our community be aware of our services for women's health. And, you know, we always try to do it around Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so just a really nice time for those people to come in and meet with our staff and just understand all that we have to offer.
Well, that's coming up, and all they got to do is show up. There's plenty of information out there, or just show up at the atrium.
And I think there's going to be some fun prizes there, too.
Oh, cool. Well, prizes. There we go. We did have the hospital board meeting recently, and one of the things that came up there was an early presentation, I'm going to call it, on the audit report. Brian Green with Ida Bailey was there and kind of reviewed some of the information, and you got a final version draft that'll be coming up here, October?
I think October, yes.
So, but this was a good opportunity where he was able to highlight some things out of that for the board that they will be able to see and follow along with. But a lot of comparison as well, too. He broke away a little bit and started doing some comparisons with other critical access hospitals.
He did do some comparisons with other hospitals and kind of outlined where we stand, and then he compared the organization to where it has stood for probably the last 10 or so years, and it's really interesting to see the financial swing that's happened in the last few years, and just some of the decisions that we've made have made things just a lot better and more positive as we're moving forward. And so it was really nice to have a good audit this year.
I know that, and then Chris Torres followed up with a few other things too. He said some of our operating has gone up a little bit on the year. And again, a lot of that traced to staffing and personnel.
Yeah, you know, we try to always reinvest in our people, and we've been working pretty hard in the last couple of years to increase wages and benefits and, you know, just making sure that people have the equipment and tools that they need to be successful. And so I think he talked about, or Brian, one of them mentioned, the cost to operate the hospital per day is around $156,000. And I think when people in the public hear that number, it's, you know, it's always, wow, it's more than you think, but you know, it does cost a lot to run an operation like that. You think it's 24/7, it operates all the time. And so, you know, we have seen that number increase a little bit in the last couple of years. But again, like you said, investing a lot of that, a lot of our money in our people.
And one thing I got to ask, because it's still hard to retain, which is part of why you want to invest in your people and say, they feel this is a good place to be.
Absolutely. You know, we work to be the top workplace, and we're always working to retain our folks that we've worked hard to get there in the first place. And so turnover comes with a really big cost. Even if it's, you know, someone that's only been there 6 months, it's still, there's a very high cost to turnover. And so it's much better for patient care and for our staff if we can retain the staff that we've attracted here. And so we continually work on those things to make sure that we're competitive, because we have a lot of other healthcare that's close by. And so it's not like people don't have options. And so we work really hard to keep them here and make sure that this is a place that they want to work.
So people need to understand, that is a hard part of continuing that. Because I can remember there are times when we were looking for 4, 5, 6 nurses to fill positions and stuff. But we've been pretty solid lately. And your staff, your admin team has been really good about when it comes to physician recruitment, things like that, being able to find people to come in. Or we've had people that just wanted to come here.
Yeah, it's been pretty interesting to see since I've come here. You know, Tacy's done a really good job with provider recruiting. And luckily, for our organization, sometimes folks just kind of fall in our laps. And so we're pretty excited about that when it comes to the physician front, because they're very difficult to find. But like you said, our open positions for nurses has decreased quite a bit. I think more recently, our biggest struggle has been in the imaging department, looking for imaging techs, ultrasound techs, all those, you know, various modalities that are really specialized. And I think that shortage is across the state and the nation. And so, you know, looking at how can we help support those programs to get more of those students through that kind of a thing.
Well, I know from Chris's portion of the report, one of the things he talked about was again, got to get that second operating room finished.
Yes.
Again, for those that don't know, we had a sprinkler issue that soaked down one of the operating rooms, and you just don't replace one overnight. It takes a little while.
Yeah, it does. It takes a bit. Unfortunately, we had a sprinkler head that got broken. And so what happens is all the water that's in the sprinkler system has to leave the sprinkler system. You can't just shut it off. And so it did destroy a lot of that OR. It destroyed some of the wall. It destroyed the equipment. And mm-hmm. so it's taken a bit to get that all fixed, you know, new cabinetry, new painting, new drywall, all that stuff has to be redone. And then we had to order new equipment. And so we're in a little bit of a waiting pattern right now, but hopefully opening here in the next couple of days.
Okay. And I thought they said at least making it use. I got to say, though, that what's been going on as far as keep working with one operating room, I mean, it's created some challenges, but they've done a pretty good job of keeping things going.
They have, and it is just a lot of communication. So when we are a facility that provides OB services, we have to be able to do C-section, mm-hmm. and we have to be able to do it quickly. And so, you know, that poses a little bit of a challenge if you get a big case going in the OR, if you only have one OR. But so far, it's worked out really well, and we've been able to understand when we have laboring moms and what that looks like and, you know, managing the schedule. And so one of the things that we talk about a lot in our facility master planning is, you know, if we do an addition or renovation, how many ORs do we need? And one of the things that we've learned from this is we don't want to be down to two again, because then it's, you know, you just have one thing go wrong and you're down to one. And so they've done a nice job keeping things going as best as they can. We have lost some cases mm-hmm. To other communities with visiting providers, but
sure.
for the most part, it's been managed pretty well.
Most of them are still looking to come back.
Oh, absolutely.
So they just, okay, it's a little inconvenient for me. I know what Dr. Christensen had to do some cataracts at a couple other places.
Yeah.
But he liked coming.
Yeah, yeah, he does. And I think Dr. Hamouche as well. But you know, we think that we don't want those patients to have to wait either. And so we tried to, you know, do our best to make sure that they were getting served the way that they needed to in the time frame that they needed to. But of course, we're hopeful that they'll come back if they need another case. And some people waited. And and if you're able to wait and, you know, that works out, then that's great too.
Well, one of the other things from the meeting that I got is you do have at least a couple of other physicians that would like to do some surgeries here, and they are willing to wait for the second operating room to open up again. So you've got a good team out there, and we know Capital Ortho, I mean, you got to work around their schedule too.
Yeah, they're working right now to bring on Dr. Zayed. He's going to be a general orthopedist who will be coming out to Boone. So he should be starting here really soon. So that'll be one thing that, you know, will affect the OR mm-hmm. usage. And then we have a podiatrist from McFarland Clinic who wants to just use some OR time in our hospital. And so that's going to be great as well. And we're excited about that. And, you know, I think the word is out that our OR team is wonderful. And we're excited about, you know, whoever wants to come. If we can accommodate and make sure we're getting patients taken care of, by all means.
And for those that wonder, yes, down to one OR that did impact the bottom line.
Oh, yeah.
I would point out roughly about 400,000 can be directly attributed to.
Yeah, we do know how many cases were transferred somewhere mm-hmm. else. And so we've been really closely tracking, one, for insurance purposes, but two, you know, we're able to tie back to what impact did this have on our bottom line. And like you said, about 400,000 a month. And so we're hoping that as soon as we can get that back up, we want that to turn around. So,
yeah. Well, we know one of the things in the very beginning, you said you wanted to have OB here, and you talked about OB deserts out here, and there are more showing up all the time.
Yeah.
We are in a pretty good position. And in fact, even with the home births that are going on, you have people that are still closely, tied with what's happening at the hospital. And if they have issues, here they come.
Yeah. Our providers have been working really close with the home birth folks. And so there's a group of midwives that like to do home births. And, you know, we always want to have a plan for those patients in case something doesn't go the way that they had planned out while they're at home. And so we've been working with them to try to, you know, make sure that if they do end up coming to our mm-hmm. organization, that it's safe and we're ready for them. And we have all the lab work and things ahead of time, just in case if they're going to be there. And, you know, some of those moms end up in a C-section. That's why they need to come to the hospital. And so making sure that we've done things like blood typing and whatnot that makes that safer and a faster process is some of what we work on with them. But OB has been extremely busy. And so We're pretty excited about that. I think September was a very busy month, and then I think December, I think we've got 20 so far on the books that we know of for December. So we're thinking this year is going to turn out really well. I think we projected about a 10% growth on last year's numbers, and I don't think that will be hard to hit.
That was what we were looking at, 120 some, and ended up at 140 something.
So. Yeah, around 141, I think.
And I do, you can tell when nurses are talking. These are the ones we know about.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we always get, you know, a mom or two that comes that we weren't aware of, and we're happy to take care of those folks as well, so that we can always plan on a number, but we know there's a little bit of wiggle in that number.
I got to say, though, your physicians that are doing it, and you have working arrangement at right now with Van Deese, but still working on putting together final plans for
Dallas County.
So.
Yeah, it's going really good. I think that, you know, adding Megan Sloat has been really valuable for us, having that certified nurse midwife in addition to our wonderful family practice physicians. I think that our group of physicians just kind of brings a different feeling to OB, and I think we've talked about that before. And patients love that. They love them, and they really feel like they're cared for by them. And I think our physicians go the extra mile to make sure that patient is getting the experience that they want or that they planned ahead of time as much as we can. And so it's really nice. And then having the partnership with Van Deese and now kind of growing that into Dallas County has helped our numbers a lot. And, you know, if you remember a couple of years ago, we really wanted to get those numbers up so that we could continue to safely provide this service.
Well, I'm going to say she's not responsible for all of it, but she has helped a lot. Dina Sitzma, we got a national certification.
She did. She got a national certification in how to take care of obstetrical emergencies. And so we're really, really proud of Dina. She has contributed a ton to the volume growth, a ton to making sure that the team in that area are well-versed, that they get good experience, that they get good orientation and training. She just works really hard, and she gets in there and works side by side with them. One thing about Dina that maybe some people don't recognize is she really likes to do hands-on patient care. So she frequently is in there taking care of the moms and keeping her skill set up, and I think that helps make her a better director, where her staff feel like they can talk to her about whatever's going on, and she can educate them. So we're really lucky to have her on our team, and I think she's helped a lot with our growth.
We also, wound and hyperbaric restorics has been a pretty successful move for you. And they've been very successful with what they've been doing.
They have been really successful, and they're a really good partner to us. I think they just received a patient satisfaction award, our wound clinic, from Restorix. And I think it's maybe the second or third time we've received this award, but it's basically recognition for achieving 96% patient satisfaction scores, you know, continuously throughout this last year. So that's really exciting. And I think our HBO chambers have been really busy. I think we've had around 5 people that have been utilizing those right now. And sometimes there's no patients that are diving. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, you have a bigger number like 5 or 6. And so it's been a really busy service and a really good service. I think those patients are really grateful and they really enjoy that staff. So
I always think when they said, well, we got this recognition, but getting it year after year means that is a certain level of care that's being provided and continuously.
It is. And it, you know, it's something to be commended for. I think the team in there does a really great job. We have a couple of physicians in there. Our podiatrist, Dr. Erickson, and then Dr. Sligman help run that area. And then we also have Mallory Bender. She's one of our PAs that works in there, and then some nursing staff. And they all do such a great job. So really grateful for those people.
So some of the other things coming up. Tell me a little bit about the cardio thing that you guys were working on that Laura talked a little bit about.
So the telecardiology. Yeah. So we've been working with Mercy on a telecardiology option for our inpatient unit. And so what that does is it provides the provider an opportunity to speak with a cardiologist and do some telecardiology. So they did do their first visit back and forth for an inpatient that we had. And so I think that's really nice because it brings resources to the bedside that the provider potentially wouldn't have had. And there would have been a lot of phone calling and things like that. And so this new setup makes it a lot easier for our team to get that help from the specialist and get that patient moving along in the right direction.
That's bottom line.
Yeah.
Help them get there.
Absolutely. And I think in rural healthcare, you're frequently looking for how do we get the help from the specialists.
Let's talk a couple of different things that are happening. First of all, we wrapped up our school lunch thing.
Food for kids.
Yeah. Food for kids.
Yeah.
And then we may, Then we made Lisa go do a presentation on it.
Yeah, the Department of Health and Human Services invited Lisa to present at a lunch and learn where they were sharing some wins from critical access mm-hmm. hospitals and related to social drivers of health. And so someone out there had recognized our Food for Kids program and asked her to present. So that was really nice that she's able to share that with other hospitals and let them know about the success of our program.
We are getting somebody to work on the area of mental health. And I know this one is exciting because it's part of the what we call China or the critical health needs.
Community health needs assessment.
Mm-hmm. And mental health has been up there a long time.
Yeah.
Not a long time, but a couple of years or a couple of surveys now anyway that mental health issues have risen to the top. So we have somebody that will specialize in that at the different clinics and spend time at all of them.
Yes, we hired a PA. Bryles Christensen is his name. He's going to be starting here pretty shortly, and he'll rotate throughout the clinic. So he'll spend one day each week in each clinic. So, you know, Monday he might be in Boone mm-hmm. North, Tuesday he might be in South, Wednesday might be in Ogden, Thursday Madrid, something like that, kind of a model for him. But you're right that mental health has been at the top of the community health needs assessment for a few different rotations now. But I think across the country we all recognize the need for mental health is so great. And so I'm really excited to finally be sort of tackling this from a community outpatient standpoint and really bringing that service, because it is hard to get into a provider for this service. Mm-hmm. And so we're excited about, just this opportunity for our patients and the ease of referring for our family practice docs. And so it'll be really nice to have him on our team. And then we know that there's a little flexibility within his schedule because we have that fifth day mm-hmm. that I think he will fill up quickly and we'll be able to grow into that fifth day. But I'm pretty excited about being able to bring this to the community.
And still have Senior Solutions too.
Yeah, Senior Life Solutions has been really busy. Like we've talked about last time, we're still planning to add a second track to that. That's been a really great service as well for people 55 and older. So I think there's just a lot of really good things happening on the mental health front here in Boone County. And, you know, there may be more to come down the road. It's just we're going to see how these two things kind of pan out and then see what the need is.
Well, let's talk a little bit about facility, because you've been out looking at different places. And again, some of the issues are our facility is pretty much landlocked right now.
Yep. We're landlocked and within the residential areas. And so we've been out kind of looking at different facilities. Some of them were replacement hospitals. Some of them were, hospitals that have done lots of renovation over time and, you know, big projects. And that's mm-hmm. kind of where we're at. We need to do something, a bigger project. You know, as we've talked about, we've had a lot of issues with our building. We have issues with the roof. We have the building's pretty old. The center part of the building in particular is extremely aged, and that's where all the infrastructure is. And, you know, over the years, we kind of added on to each end. And we just keep doing that. And so if you don't ever really tackle that middle part, so we do need to do something kind of big. And so we've been out just looking at other places, seeing what they did, what they would have done different, what they wish they had done. And really our team has been looking for, as we're thinking about this, as we're thinking about square footage needs, our team's been really looking at how can we be more efficient. Currently, you know, our OR is on the first floor mm-hmm. and OB is up on second floor. And it's like, would we be able to be more efficient if we had OR next to OB because we're doing C-sections? And so instead of having the patient have to get in the elevator and go downstairs, like, is there a different way to think about where we place those two departments and how can staff be shared and how can supplies be shared and all those different things that could, you know, gain us some efficiencies? And so it's been really a nice process. We made it to 5 different hospitals. And so it's been a nice process to hear their feedback and just, mm-hmm. you know, give us that sort of baseline understanding of, you know, things to look at as we're thinking about what are we going to do.
I still remember people will say, well, the new operating rooms, because they remember the old ones that had been on the west end of the hospital and the old ER and everything else. But that's 20 plus years ago now.
I think it was around 2000. And so we're talking about 25 years old, the emergency department and the OR addition. And, you know, the emergency department gets a lot of use, and so does the OR. But when mm-hmm. you go in the ER, you can really tell that it's aged. And so, hoping to really try to figure out what to do. And also our ER is a little bit small. So for our volumes, and our volumes just keep growing. And so we want to be able to serve people and have, you know, space for technology. And as time goes on, technology and equipment grows.
That doesn't it, though?
Yeah, and so you just keep needing more and more space. And so that's kind of another issue with us, is trying to make sure we can get enough room and have, like, ambulance staff positioned appropriately and things like that. And so trying to think about all the caveats to how we operate every day really have caused us to think about this project in a different way, I think.
Well, we have our Harvest Festival coming up. That's going to be the end of October. And get your tickets now.
Yeah, yeah, they're for sale.
Was it through the decades?
Let's see, Decades of Dedication is what it is. October 24th.
Okay.
It'll be at the farmhouse.
And again, our goal this time, target is, again, and the foundation does this, it's they pick a topic, and that's what they kind of drive the funds towards. It's going to be for this next ambulance that hopefully we're going to get here within 2 months or
yeah,
so.
Yeah, I think we will be getting it within a couple of months here. I think that, you know, the ambulance, and we've talked about those quite a bit, they're really expensive. And when I got here, we started working on putting them on a rotation of replacement. And so this is the last one that we'll need a full ambulance for quite a while. And then we'll do more like a chassis replacement where the box is still fine and we need to replace the engine and those kind of things. So we'll start rotating through that after we get this last ambulance. But, you know, a lot of folks are like, oh, didn't the foundation just raise money for an ambulance? But that was back in 2018. So it's really been...
It's been 4 years.
Seven years. Oh, yeah. It's been 7 years. And so it's definitely time for a new one. And I think, you know, it's been a couple of years since we bought those last two ambulances. And, you know, the price just keeps going up and more equipment needs and all those things. And so we're really excited to see our community come out and support that piece of equipment. Yeah.
A big one. We'll have that. And again, don't forget about Ladies Night Out this Thursday.
Yep.
Have that going. And otherwise, I think I don't have much else. Do we have any other highlights we need to pass along?
I think one last highlight is that Justin Neely is getting recognized for his Hospital Hero Award next week at the Iowa Hospital Association's annual meeting. And so that's really exciting to have a hospital hero right here in Boone.
And you have several board members that'll be on hand for that.
Yes, and lots of our admin team and some of our other folks will be there too.
Michaela Keenan, CEO of the Boone County Hospital, our guest on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jim.